3. The Three Persons of Deity. Notwithstanding there is only one deity, there are three positive and divine personalizations of deity. Regarding the endowment of man with the divine adjusters, the Father said, "Let us make mortal man in our own image." Repeatedly throughout the Urantian writings there occurs this reference to the acts and doings of plural deity, clearly showing recognition of the existence and working of the three sources and centers. We are taught that the Son and the Spirit sustain the same and equal relations to the Father in the Trinity association. In eternity and as deities they undoubtedly do, but in time and as personalities they certainly disclose relationships of a very diverse nature. Looking from paradise out on the universes, these relationships do seem to be very similar, but when viewed from the domains of space, they appear to be quite different. The divine sons are indeed the Word of God, but the children of the Spirit are truly the act of God. God speaks through the Son and, with the Son, acts through the infinite Spirit. While in all universe activities the Son and the Spirit are exquisitely fraternal, working as two equal brothers with admiration and love for an honored and divinely respected common Father. The Father, Son, and Spirit are certainly equal in nature, coordinate in being, but there are unmistakable differences in their universe performances, and when acting alone, each person of deity is apparently limited in absoluteness. The Universal Father, prior to his self-willed divestment of the personality, powers, and attributes which constitute the Son and the Spirit, seems to have been, philosophically considered, an unqualified, absolute, and infinite deity. But such a theoretical first source and center without a son could not in any sense of the word be considered the universal father. Fatherhood is not real without sonship. Furthermore, the Father, to have been absolute in a total sense, must have existed at some eternally distant moment alone. But he never had such a solitary existence. The Son and the Spirit are both co-eternal with the Father. The first source and center has always been, and will forever be, the eternal Father of the original Son and, with the Son, the eternal progenitor of the infinite Spirit. We observe that the Father has divested himself of all direct manifestations of absoluteness except absolute fatherhood and absolute volition. We do not know whether volition is an inalienable attribute of the Father. We can only observe that he did not divest himself of volition. Such infinity of will must have been eternally inherent in the first source and center. In bestowing absoluteness of personality upon the Eternal Son, the Universal Father escapes from the fetters of personality absolutism, but in so doing he takes a step which makes it forever impossible for him to act alone as the personality, absolute. And with the final personalization of coexistent deity, the conjoint actor, there ensues the critical Trinitarian interdependence of the three divine personalities with regard to the totality of deity function in absolute. God is the Father absolute of all personalities in the universe of universes. The Father is personally absolute in liberty of action, but in the universes of time and space, made, in the making, and yet to be made, the Father is not discernibly absolute as total deity except in the Paradise Trinity. The first source and center functions outside of Havona in the phenomenal universe is as follows. 1. As Creator, through the Creator sons, his grandsons. 2. As Controller, through the gravity center of paradise. 3. As Spirit, through the Eternal Son. 4. As Mind, through the conjoint Creator. 5. As a Father, He maintains parental contact with all creatures through his personality circuit. 6. As a person, he acts directly throughout creation by his exclusive fragments. Immortal man by the thought adjusters. 7. As total deity, he functions only in the paradise trinity. All these relinquishments and delegations of jurisdiction by the universal father are wholly voluntary and self-imposed. The all-powerful father purposefully assumes these limitations of universe authority. The eternal son seems to function as one with the father in all spiritual respects except in the bestowals of the God fragments and in other personal activities. Neither is the son closely identified with the intellectual activities of material creatures nor with the energy activities of the material universes. As absolute, the son functions as a person and only in the domain of the spiritual universe. The infinite spirit is amazingly universal and unbelievably versatile in all his operations. He performs in the spheres of mind, matter, and spirit. The conjoint actor represents the father-son association, but he also functions as himself. He is not directly concerned with physical gravity, with spiritual gravity, or with the personality circuit, but he more or less participates in all other universe activities. While apparently dependent on three existential and absolute gravity controls, the infinite spirit appears to exercise three super controls. This threefold endowment is employed in many ways to transcend and seemingly to neutralize even the manifestations of primary forces and energies, right up to the superultimate borders of absoluteness. In certain situations, these super controls absolutely transcend even the primal manifestations of cosmic reality.